When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs.
That can be a lot of money, but are your bills even accurate?
It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors.
HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud.
You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills.
To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it'll get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values.
Go to puretalk.com/clay to switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/clay.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, Tuesday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I hope all of you had a great long weekend. If you were able to take Monday off, we certainly want to thank everyone who allows us to have the freedoms that we hold so dear. And we know that that comes with a cost to many families across the country. So we hope as well that you were able to spend some time honoring the sacrifices of so many that have come before us as part of your Memorial Day celebration and festivity. But we are excited to be here with you after several days being away. And we have not spent, let's start off here. By the way, we're going to be joined by Tim Scott, Senator from South Carolina, who has announced that he is running for president. He will join us at 1 o'clock Eastern. That is the top of the next hour, almost exactly 1 hour from now. So you can put that on your horizon as we continue to talk with everyone who is running for president that will come on the show, both Democrat and Republican. We've talked to RFK Jr. Obviously, Joe Biden is terrified to come on this program because if he spent very much time talking with us at all, it would demonstrate his clear dementia and the fact that he is unable to do this job. But we will talk to Tim Scott at one. We've got a lot of different stories to dive into. Joe Manchin is down 22 points to Jim Justice in West Virginia. What does that mean both for the Senate looking ahead to next year, but also for potentially a presidential run? Donald Trump has changed his position on Disney. We will discuss. Sam Ponder at ESPN is a bigot, according to USA Today, for believing that men should not be able to compete against women. Lululemon, which I feel like I mispronounce all the time, but they have fired two employees for calling the cops. But we begin with a story that, frankly, we have not spent that much time on.
Just real quick, calling the cops for stealing. For people stole, and they called the cops, and then they got fired for calling the cops on the thieves. Anyway.
Yes. Which is, emblematic of the world in which we live right now. So all that to be discussed as we move throughout the course of today's program. But we haven't spent very much time talking about the debt ceiling because we told you that eventually this was going to get resolved. And it appears that it has gotten resolved over the weekend, an agreement between Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Biden, their negotiation teams. Here is cut one, Kevin McCarthy explaining what exactly is going to happen.
There is so much in this that's positive, and measure it to all the other debt ceilings. When Republicans had the presidency, the Senate, and the House, did they ever cut spending? No, they increased it. We were able to do this when the president said he wasn't even going to talk to us. This is really a step in the right direction. It puts us a trajectory that's different. We put a statutory cap on only spending 1% for the next 6 years. So we let government grow, but at a slower rate.
Okay. So, Buck, it appears this is going to pass. There are going to be upset members on the right who are refusing to vote for this. I think there are around 20 Republicans so far who it appears are going to be opposed to this. It appears there also will be some members of the Democrat Party on the left that are opposed to this agreement as well. What I would say is fairly significant in general is, yes, it slows the rate of growth, but it effectively takes us to $35 trillion in debt. And at some point, I think we just have to recognize that our national debt is never going to get paid off. And am I crazy, Buck, when you look at this? Like, it seems like we've just decided that the national debt doesn't matter, both Republicans and Democrats.
I think you frame it this way. This is probably the best deal you could get under the circumstances with a Senate majority in the hands of Democrats and a White House with a Democrat president. But it's really tough to feel like, oh, great. You know, this is a moment in time where you'd have to say to yourself, we are now faced with both parties effectively spending endlessly, running the debt up to a place where service on the debt is going to increasingly crowd out spending. Really a part of this, and it's not politically advantageous to talk about this, is that there's an intergenerational theft that's going on, which is that the benefits that have been promised for the older generation are way beyond what is paid into them, which people don't want to hear. This is just numbers. It's true. And then the debt burden passes on to the younger generation now, which is why you see a lot of people complaining, you know, in their 20s, their 30s, into their 40s. I can't afford a house anywhere. I can't get out of student loan debt. There are structural things in the economy that we accept because of politics that we shouldn't accept as a matter of what is fair and what is ethical, I think. And that's why you have both parties spending too much money. Bottom line, spend too much money. I mean, what did we run the debt up $6 trillion under Trump? Right? I mean, Trump, great economy. No question about it. Economy was phenomenal until the fourth year of COVID, of course. But then we spent $6 trillion. That's a big problem. And it was a big problem also politically, because then Biden comes in like a true maniac and spends an additional $2 trillion when we should be absolutely going in the other direction and not doing. And then he wanted to spend $5 trillion more on top of that. What you realize is we are in a competition for which political party can be a bigger version of Santa Claus, the free stuff for everybody, or the stuff that you get more than you pay into it. And this just puts us on a trajectory for eventual real financial hardship as a country, and even possibly ruination. I mean, you look at the history of fiat currency, you look at what inflation has done historically in different countries, and it has caused economic collapse. But, you know, I say this, and everyone, I think, on the right, well, not everybody, but a lot of people shake their heads and they'll say, yeah, that's right, we need to do something about the debt. And I say, all right, so we need to do some means testing for Social Security. We need to raise the retirement age. How dare you, sir? How dare you? It's okay. Fine. This is where we are. Everyone wants to pretend they want to deal with this, and it's a huge problem. And then you talk about the only ways you could realistically do. Clay, even this notion of automatic spending. Think about this. This just means the politicians all get to wash their hands of it. Oh, sorry, that's the automatic spending.
Yeah.
That's where 70% of the spending comes from. It's the automatic spending. We are cutting, what is it, the 3% increase or something? I mean, the numbers don't even really matter because the numbers are so insignificant. We are slightly limiting the increase in the spending the federal government's going to do, which is already way beyond our means. And we think that's a victory. You know, this is taking an alcoholic and saying you can't have 13 shots of tequila. You can only have 12.
The reality is, when you refuse to look at Social Security or Medicare, and that seems to be the general consensus of both political parties, then there is no way to balance the federal budget. And scarily, Buck, what is becoming the case is the debt on the national debt. In other words, the interest that we have to pay on our national debt, particularly as we're now talking about 5 and 5.25% interest rates, that's going to start crowding out a lot of the discretionary spending as well. You basically can't balance the budget by analyzing discretionary spending. And so people don't want to talk about it because I think it makes everybody so uncomfortable. But I do think it's worth mentioning. The Tea Party started because we hit $10 trillion in national debt. That was in 2010. Since 2010, we have added over $20 trillion in national debt. That's the last 13 years. So we are adding over $1 trillion a year to our national debt. At this point, it just feels like everyone is pretending that this doesn't exist and that it's not going to be a major hindrance on future economic growth. But it feels to me like both parties are engaging in magical realism here in pretending that the biggest issue isn't a big issue.
Look, you got Trump running ads saying Ron DeSantis wants to cut your Medicare. And you have Ron DeSantis saying, look at the Republican primary.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to touch your Medicare. Because they both know whoever says they're going to touch Medicare is going to lose. Meanwhile, yeah, people sit around saying, we're spending too much money. Something like, and again, we could have, so there's some great minds on this issue of, I'm trying to remember. Oh gosh. Well, even like my friend Ben Domenech is very strong on the healthcare issue. There are a few other people I can think of, but one of them is escaping my mind right now, but they can break down all the numbers is the point. Something like a huge majority of spending that is even being done for Medicare happens in the last 6 months of a person's life. So there's very little, oversight.
Quality of life and that is actually being gained there, right?
And how the billing is actually being done. And, Ovik Roy, by the way, that was the name I was trying to remember.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He's fantastic on the healthcare side of things because he's a realist, but people don't want to hear it because, we've gotten into a competition for, who can do a better job of distributing the spoil system. And that's where we are. There was a moment when the Republican Party seemed to be really at least willing to talk about being opposed to this. And as you point out, Clay, that was $20 trillion ago.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder as well, if spending doesn't matter, why does inflation, just stink so much? Well, because spending does matter. If debt doesn't matter, why not just spend endless amounts of money? This is very straightforward stuff, but we have a political system now where anybody who talks about being financially responsible will lose. That's it. And so we can sit around and because I'll get emails and I'm sure you get them too. You guys need to talk about the debt ceiling. No, they're going to raise the debt ceiling. Republicans are going to do a bare minimum. They're going to take one nibble on the edge of the giant cookie that is our federal debt. And they're going to pat themselves in the back. Meanwhile, Democrats are going to continue to use it as a spoil system. It doesn't change. And people could say, well, this doesn't sound particularly useful. I think the first step is understanding where we are as a country. We're just going to keep spending until the financial disaster hits. That's the plan right now. Republican, Democrat, no one wants to stop it. You try to stop it, you lose. And then you're not in power. And so then what's the difference? How do we change this?
I mean, I think we should have, unfortunately, gone back in time. I wish we had most states, Buck, have balanced budget requirements. In other words, you can't run $1 trillion deficits if you're the governor of California or if you're the governor of Florida or New York or one of these places. And as soon as we gave politicians the ability to go into debt, and to be fair, sometimes going into debt makes sense. To beat the Nazis in World War II, I keep hammering this home because I think it staggers people.
Yeah.
We spent more money on an inflation-adjusted basis on COVID than we did to win World War II.
That's because if we hadn't done it, we wouldn't be worried about inflation because we'd all be spending Deutschmarks, right? I mean, we could all understand at some level or whatever. I think it was Deutschmarks back in the day, too. There are some times, obviously, where you have to go into debt to save your nation. We didn't have to do that for COVID. We spent $6 trillion during COVID. People wonder, why didn't inflation hit more? Why didn't inflation hit more in the 2022 elections, which, you know, everybody on the right basically got wrong. And it's, I think, in part because a lot of people looked at it and they said, well, Biden spent $2 trillion. The guy before spent $6 trillion in 1 year.
I think also, and this is even more debilitating there, Buck, I think a lot of people have just lost faith in government in general. And so the consequences of actions aren't as big a part of elections as they should be, which is one of the reasons why I'm concerned that Biden's going to win again in 24.
And I'm sorry, I feel a little bit like, did you ever see the movie Best in Show? Christopher Guest movie?
Yeah.
Remember when he goes to visit, he goes to visit like the boyfriend of his ex-boyfriend or whatever of his wife, and it turns out that guy is a hostage negotiator. And he sits there and he's like, so like, what's the secret of being a hostage negotiator? And the guy goes, well, they all jump. So, I'm not trying to be that guy right now, but I'm just saying, you know, it's a rough situation. He's a crisis negotiator, not a hostage negotiator, but he says they all jump. And I'm like, we're not all jumping necessarily. We can actually fix something here, but everyone has to be very honest about the fact that, I mean, Republicans taking a victory lap on this, it's kind of sad. I know it's the best possible, but. You know, is your offense celebrating, Clay, when they make a goal line stand? I don't think so.
Well, and here, yeah, it's a good sports analogy from you to start the week here. Here's the way to think about it. I don't feel like we're ever going to stop the national debt from increasing. So the question becomes, and I hate to say that, but there's been no suggestion that I've seen in any sort of political leadership that's going to change. At what point does this long ticking national debt time bomb explode on all of us, and what does it look like? Because there are economic consequences to making poor choices, as all of you out there know. But unlike the rest of the United States, you can't just declare bankruptcy as a country and wipe out all your debt.
I had a feeling, by the way, it's Reichmarks, not Deutschmarks, back in the not, but you know, same idea.
Yes,
we get what I'm saying. So.
We got a really good start to the week there. We're all, our economy's eventually going to blow up. It's just a question of when, and we maybe have forestalled that for a small period of time. Happy week. Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, if you're with them, you're overpaying. Pure Talk can save your family over $900 a year. And right now, you can get unlimited talk, text, ultra-fast 5G data for just $20 a month. What about the coverage? It's phenomenal. Pure Talk uses the most dependable 5G network in the country. So grab your phones, dial #250, and say the keyword Clay and Buck to get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $20 a month. Pure Talk's amazing U.S. customer service team will make switching easy. Choose a veteran-owned company that cares about keeping jobs in America and saving you money. Pick up your phone and dial #250. Say Clay and Buck for unlimited talk and text with plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. Dial #250. Again, say Clay and Buck. Save an additional 50% off your first month. Thanks to Pure Talk.
Making sense in an insane world. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD. The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today.
Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance, so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code Clay, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose.
GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community.
Change the world for good by putting others before yourself to glorify God. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your unique academic, personal, and professional goals.
With over 330 academic programs as of September 2023, GCU meets you where you are and provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Let it flourish. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Second hour of Clay and Buck kicks off right now, everybody. Thank you for hanging out with us. We are, I believe, are we joined? Do we have him? Okay. We do. We're joined now by Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. He is a presidential candidate in this GOP primary. Senator Scott, pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Well, thank you all both for having me back, and it's always a good day to be back on the air with you.
I know it's an obvious question. It's an easy question from the perspective of the one asking, but I think it's a more difficult one to make worthwhile for the one responding, Senator. Why are you running? What do you want to do that would be different from some of the other Republican nominees?
I think it's so important for me, the guy who's been blessed with the America that everyone should be in love with. I believe that America can do for anyone what she has done for me, and that includes restoring hope, creating opportunities, and protecting the America we love. I would start my presidential service by re-signing the XL Keystone Pipeline, because our American energy future is our national security future. Where we are in charge of our own lives, our own energy, we are going to be on solid ground. Second thing I would say is that China is an existential threat, period. Everything that we do to decouple our economy from China's economy is good for the nation. And without any question, staying with the security apparatus, our southern border is a crisis. I've always said, if you don't control the back door to your house, it ain't your house. If you don't control your southern border, it might not be your country. President Biden has failed us miserably, protecting Americans, including the 70,000 Americans who've lost their lives to fentanyl and 100 folks on our national security list walking across our southern border. We have to secure our southern border and use the latest technology in order to surveil our southern border and stop fentanyl from killing another 70,000 Americans this year.
Senator, you got called out, and I know this is crazy to even have to ask about because I think it's the dumbest show filled with the dumbest people on media on a daily basis. But Joy Behar said, essentially, you didn't know what it was like to be black in America. I'm curious how you would respond to that, as well as Sonny Hostin coming after you. I don't know. I guess it's a sign that The View views you as a threat to their left-wing hegemony. But what are your thoughts when you hear someone like Joy Behar say you don't know what it's like to be black in America?
and so your experience doesn't count.
Well, there's no doubt a white lady dressing up in blackface, giving a black man advice, probably doesn't ring true in anyone's mind, certainly not my own. But more importantly, I find it offensive and disgusting and dangerous for a very different reason. I'm used to having the left attack me because the truth of my life disproves their lies. And I say that because of this. When I helped write the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, they called me a prop. When I started talking about refunding the police, they called me a token. When I stepped forward and pushed back on President Biden's malign agenda, they called me the N-word. I'm used to it. Here's what is dangerous and offensive to me. For every young child in America wanting to think for themselves, draw their own conclusions, what they're saying to them is stay in your place. Do not stick your head up because we're going to tell you how to think so you never learn anything about what you should think. It is literally the dumbest, most offensive thing I've ever witnessed on TV to hear these millionaire TV personalities telling me how to live my life as a black man, but more importantly, suggesting to every child, stay in your place. Follow my lead, or you too will reap the same harvest of Tim Scott or Clarence Thomas or any other conservative who dares to think for themselves.
You know, it's first of all, that's a very powerful response, and I think it's incredibly well said. I don't know if you saw the comments from Ice Cube. He's a popular rapper for our audience out there that might not know him. On the flip side, he spoke out over the weekend and said, hey, we've been voting Democrat almost exclusively for 60 years. And he said, how has that made black Americans' experience better? I'm curious if you saw those comments and what you think about what they could represent in terms of black Americans being encouraged by Ice Cube to look around and say, hey, being all in on one side maybe isn't the best way to advance our political interests. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I celebrate Ice Cube's comments, so I did not hear them. I will say this, that the African-American poverty rate has hovered over 25% for those 60 years you're talking about. 40 of those 60 years, the Democrats from 1954 until 1994 had 100% control of the United States House of Representatives. Just take a look back and see how bad those years were for African-Americans. Here's the difference, and this is why I think Ice Cube has a finger on the artery, not just the pulse, but the artery. It's that when we were in control as Republicans, we funded historically black colleges and universities at the highest level in the history of the country and made their funding permanent. Because both myself and President Trump believed then what we know now, that education is the closest thing to magic, and making sure that African Americans and every other racial group in this country has the same access to high quality education. We made it a part of our objective. We lowered taxes for single moms. 73% of their federal tax burden went down. That's important when you think about the fact that 75% of African American kids are growing up in a single parent household. Why not give that mother her money back? So when we start talking about the policy successes that we've had for all of America, with no exceptions, it's a reason the African-American community is taking a second look at the Republican Party. And the more we go, I did a black town hall, a black church this past Sunday. And the good news is, at that black church, about 60% of the people that were there were white, Hispanic, and about 30 to 40% African Americans. Here's what we're learning. We can no longer judge people by the color of their skin. Thank God Almighty. We judge them now by the content of their character. That's called American progress. We should all celebrate it.
We're speaking to Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. He's a presidential candidate in this election. Senator Scott, to follow on to what you were just saying, do you think that is part of your strategy? Clay and I were talking about this last week. The Democrat Party in presidential elections stretching back for as long as I can remember, gets effectively, call it roughly 90% of the black vote. Do you believe that if you are the GOP nominee, you could change that number such that Democrat coalition fails and you win as the Republican?
I think my message enjoys popularity with conservatives who happen to be black, who happen to be white, who happen to be Hispanic. Here's what I know for certain, that being able to go where you're not invited, sharing the good news of conservatism, which, of course, Clay Buck, you know, they're called American values. Conservative principles work wherever they are applied. The one place where I've seen the least application has been in the minority community, so specifically the African-American community, where we've seen a lot of government assistance, but not enough entrepreneurship. In today's America, every community that has strong entrepreneurship has low unemployment. I believe taking our message to those communities across this nation will produce better results. It works for me in South Carolina. I think it will work nationwide, where I enjoy more than 20% of the African-American vote, or very close to it, election in, election out, over several two decades now.
Senator Tim Scott with us now. He is running for president. There's some things that occur that I just can't believe are real. You have an athletics background, I believe. And so you were talking about just being able to reach out to audiences everywhere. Would you have ever believed, Senator, that not one single congressperson in the House and not one single senator would believe, would vote to say that men don't belong in women's athletics? And let me build on that a little bit. I don't know if you've seen this headline. Sam Ponder, who does an NFL show for ESPN, actually spoke out, and she spoke out and said, hey, this is wrong. We shouldn't have men identifying as women competing against women. And a USA Today editorial called her a bigot for having that perspective. Can you believe that this is where we are in the world right now in our country?
Unbelievable. I said it oftentimes around the country, and I'll say it again, that transgender ideology is going to ruin female sports if we let it continue. There's no way, as a guy who played college football 25 pounds ago, there's no way in the world that I should be competing against women in college if I were still that primetime athlete that I was 30 years ago. So the truth is that if we want to protect women's sports, protect the integrity of competition, you cannot take any other position than one that I've just asserted. It is common sense. And frankly, I don't understand why it's controversial.
I think that's 100% right.
Senator Tim Scott, appreciate you being with us, sir. Good luck to you in your campaign, and come back as things get closer to the big days of voting, and talk to us again, okay?
God bless you all. Thank you for representing truth everywhere people hear
you, sir.
God bless
you. We try. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Senator Tim Scott. We will talk to him for sure again soon as this process of the presidency continues to play out. You guys can react to that, 800-282-2882. But I want to tell you, a listener of this program used an extra day this past weekend to scan dozens of family photos and old family records in advance of a family reunion. Some of these photos, more than 100 years old. They're all now safely on his laptop, ready for a little show and tell this coming July 4th weekend with his family. But are they really safe on that laptop? After all, if it crashes, all bets are off. But it's easy to back up what's on that computer. iDrive makes it so that in a few minutes, you can download the iDrive software and start backing up everything on your own computer, just like our listeners should do. iDrive.com is where you start your computer data upload and secured on secure iDrive servers in the cloud. They use military-grade encryption to keep all your data safe. You'll be able to back up your data daily or more often than that if you'd like. They keep your 10 most recent backups accessible only to you, if and only when you use the access because your computer or smartphone is crashed, it will be there for you. iDrive is a PC Mag winner 8 years in a row as the best cloud backup solution. Plans start at less than $7 a month. iDrive.com. Get 90% off your first year when you use my name, Clay, when you sign up. That's iDrive.com/Clay. Use that name today. iDrive.com. My name, Clay.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, making sense in an insane world.
Welcome in. Hour number three, Tuesday edition. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Encourage you to go download the podcast. Make sure you don't miss a single moment of the show, including at the top of the second hour, Senator Tim Scott teeing off on Joy Behar. We'll probably play you that audio at some point, maybe before the hour ends here, the final hour of the Tuesday edition of the program. But you can go listen to the full context of that interview. Make sure you don't miss a moment. I know it's now. A lot of you kids are getting out of school. My kids finished school at the end of last week. It is the holiday season. Many of you on the road right now for Memorial Day. It's not long till July 4th. It is family vacation season. It is vacation season overall. Maybe you're not going to be able to listen to one of the 500 normal stations that you would be listening to all over the country to grab the show. Take us with you to the beach, where Buck would be wildly disappointed if he were kicking back and trying to enjoy his summer vacation, and then suddenly his earbuds were infringed upon by someone sitting next to him on the beach. But he might make an exception if it happens to be our show.
All true.
As we are rolling through this program, we have talked about the Walt Disney situation and the fact that I believe Disney made an incredibly calculated error to get involved in commenting on the Florida bill that did not allow kindergarten, first, second, third graders to be taught about sexuality, related to which the Little Mermaid live action version came out this weekend. New York Times said that they didn't enjoy the movie as much as they otherwise would have because there was not enough kink in that movie. Yes, Little Mermaid, 1989 cartoon, not enough kink, Buck.
I legitimately don't even know what they think they're saying with that. I can take some guesses, but I don't even get what that's supposed to be.
It's super weird. And it just goes to the point that there is a lot of demand for young children to be incredibly sexualized inside of your own schools, inside of your own children's films. And so DeSantis has gone to war with Disney. Now it's turned into a zoning battle over Disney World, and we have talked about that a lot. The biggest takeaway to me, Buck, is that Disney is now one of the five most polarizing brands in America. And if you're analyzing things and you're saying, okay, they're a business, they're doing whatever they think is best, actually the data reflects that they have tanked in Republican support and have not increased very much in Democrat support. In other words, their overall brand value has declined since they have decided to get involved in state-related political issues with Governor Ron DeSantis. So DeSantis has gone to war with Disney. Interestingly, Buck, and I hadn't even seen this, you told me about this off air, Trump ripped Ron DeSantis as recently as, was it Thursday? I believe he put out a clip ripping Ron DeSantis. We played the audio for you on this program for fighting with Disney and came down on the side of defending Disney and saying, oh, this is basically, and I'm paraphrasing, unfortunate that DeSantis would be going to war with Disney. Now, Trump has come out over Memorial Day weekend and said what, Buck?
This is from Truth Social, Donald Trump's account. Disney has become a woke and disgusting shadow of its former self, with people actually hating it. Must go back to what it once was, or the market will do irreparable damage. This all happened during the governorship of Rob DeSanctimonious. Instead of complaining now for publicity reasons only, he should have stopped it long ago. It would have been easy to do. It still is. Okay. So, now he is joining with the Disney is woke and needs to be stopped. He's saying it's DeSantis' fault that this happened, and DeSantis could have easily stopped it, but the way that DeSantis is trying to stop it on third, can we get that audio of the Trump statement just so everyone can hear exactly what we're talking about? You know, I'm at the point where with some of this stuff, I would just want to know, okay, so what exactly is the position? Because this seems to be multiple positions taken at once that are contradicting each other, or at least when you add it to what was said. This was from May 28th, the other audio, and it was from the Trump statement where he was talking about Disney, which I believe you're right. I think we played it on Thursday. But so Trump now agrees Disney is woke and disgusting. Okay, so they're aligned on that. He says it should go back to what it once was. Aligned on that. This all happened during the governorship of Rob DeSanctimonious. I don't think Disney went woke in the last 4 years. I don't think that's fair. But if someone disagrees, by all means, call in. Let us know that Disney was you know, very conservative or traditional in its values and changed. But he should have stopped it long ago. So now it feels like the criticism is that he waited too long to take action against Disney instead of he shouldn't be taking action against Disney in Florida. I'm not sure if I have that right, but I think that's what it is saying.
So on Thursday, and we'll play you this audio, the 25th of May, Trump said that DeSantis was on the wrong side against Disney and he had unfairly attacked Disney. On Sunday, the 28th, Trump comes out and says, actually, Disney is gone super woke and DeSantis hasn't done enough to fight back against Disney. So again, just to make this clear, Thursday, DeSantis, this is Trump's own words, and we'll play it for you because we played it on the show. And to be fair, you and I both said, yeah, we disagree. And I laid out why I think I wouldn't change anything. In fact, you go back and look at the transcript. I said, I wouldn't change anything DeSantis has done against Disney. So the only thing I can think, Buck, is that between Thursday and Sunday, somebody shared polling with Trump, which showed that what DeSantis is doing on Disney is very popular with Republican primary voters because we don't want more kink in the Little Mermaid. And we don't want, I'm sure you saw this and a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, did as well. We don't want men dressing up as princesses at Disneyland in California, pretending to be women, talking to young children. That isn't appropriate in most of our minds. We want Disney to be, as Trump said, the Disney that it was for most of our youth in the 80s and in the 90s before Disney went crazy. And Buck, what I have said here is I saw all this happen. So I saw it happen at ESPN, where Disney owned ESPN, lost its mind, and went super woke with sports. And now they're doing the same thing with the larger cultural aspects of Disney. But why would, other than Trump being told, hey, Republicans disagree with the woke Disney concept, why would he totally change his tune? Now, I think he's in the right place here, so I give him credit for getting to the right place. But this is one of those things where we said Trump was running to the left of DeSantis, and the fact that this was ever a situation where you would say, hey, Disney did the right thing, and now people are going to lose their jobs, this was a miscalculation by Trump. And to be fair, DeSantis is getting ripped on by corporatists, by big business, for actually attacking Disney, but the base of the Republican Party agrees with him on this attack. And so this, to me, is an intriguing aspect that Trump would effectively flip-flop in the space of 3 days on Disney.
Yeah, I would like to see if we could play, just so everyone can have the full context. Team, let us know when we have the statement that Trump put out from last week on this. But it is interesting to see that what, because on social media for sure, there were a couple of days where there were Trump surrogates saying the fight with Disney is foolish and stupid and costing money and jobs. And then a couple of days later, it's, oh no, Disney's actually woke and it needed to be stopped sooner. So that's a change in direction, I guess you could say. And I think that what we're going to be looking for here is, people are going to take different positions. This will all evolve as the campaigns move along, but at least clarity. We can't necessarily, these are politicians, right? Consistency isn't going to happen. But clarity would be good to have an understanding of where the different candidates start. I was interested to see that Trump said, I think he just put this out today, that on day one, he'll sign an executive order to end birthright citizenship for those who are born here. And this goes, there's a whole big discussion, a bunch of, you know, things you have to get involved here on, and, you know, subject to the jurisdiction thereof and the anchor baby situation. And this has never really been tested all the way up to the Supreme Court. But it does clearly show, Clay, when you see that we have rules against people coming here, let's say from China, having a baby here on purpose and then going back to China. And now they claim, oh, well, that's American citizenship. Here's the, you know, what do you call it? Birth certificate of the birth in California. Oh, okay. We'll get back to the end of birthright citizenship, this is a big, big fight that would be had. And I think it's going to be a part of the immigration discussion in a way that it needs to be. But here is the Trump clip from, last week on Thursday. Play it.
When the Ron DeSanctimonious facts come out, you will see that he's better than most Democrat governors, but very average at best compared to Republican governors who have done a fantastic job. And look at Disney and what a mess it is. Could have worked out an easy settlement, but no, he wanted to show the fake news how tough a guy he is. He's not. And the whole Disney thing is really very unfortunate. Now thousands and thousands of jobs are being stopped, and a lot of people are very upset about it.
Okay, so last week it was the Disney fight is very unfortunate. People are losing jobs. And now, as of, 2 days ago, it's he should have fought Disney sooner on this issue because it's so woke and horrible and disgusting. So that's where we are.
In 2 days, he argued, 3 days, the exact opposite of his attack. So, and to your point, Buck, there are also people running around because we came on Thursday and I was like, yeah, this is a bad line of attack. So I give credit to Trump for changing his position because
yeah, pivoting is the right move. It's just, you know, I think we're allowed to notice when he pivots.
Yeah. In the space of 72 hours, he went from DeSantis has screwed up Disney and it's very unfortunate to Disney is a disaster and Ron DeSantis should have done way more. So he did too much on Thursday, and on Sunday he didn't do enough. Now, Trump has gotten to the right place on Disney, but why was he levying the attack? And now this is the bull in a china shop of Trump that frustrates me. I mean, candidly, with everybody out there, Trump often gets to the right result, but he makes a mess of getting there so that the process of getting there becomes the attackable version of himself. Now, we'll come back and talk about this birthright citizenship because I think this is actually the right position for Trump. In fact, in my book, I argue that if we're ever going to fix immigration in this country, we have to deal with the incentive structure that brings people to this country in the first place. One is jobs. That's harder, I think. But Buck, the idea that if you have a child in the United States, your child becomes a citizen, most countries don't have birthright citizenship. They just don't.
And also, we're talking about people who are in the country oftentimes
illegally.
Illegally.
Yeah.
So you're here in violation of U.S. law. You have a child. That child's a U.S. citizen. That's a massive incentive for people to come here illegally. And it's really the version of this you see in California and with Chinese birth tourism, which there have been federal cases about this, and it's criminal. You're not allowed to do that. But you start to say, okay, well, if it's wrong for someone from China to a Chinese national to come here, and it's wrong for a company to basically pay to have the baby here so they get the citizenship, why is it okay to come across the border illegally, have a child here, and then demand citizenship for that child? Which has been that has been the way it's treated in the U.S. now for a very long time. So that's a big fight underway politically. We'll see where it goes. We'll talk about it more in a second. Nowhere is it written you shouldn't feel the top of your game every day. That's what Chalk is all about. C-H-O-Q. Why shouldn't you feel fantastic every day, full of energy and able to take on the world? Chalk produces high-quality nutritional supplements, none more popular than the Male Vitality Stack. This combination of everyday supplements is designed to supply your body with the nutrients to fuel energy, focus, and stamina. The leading natural ingredient has been researched to show serious improvements in testosterone within a guy's body, up some 20% in just 3 months' time. You're going to feel it as it happens. this increase in testosterone, which is a driver, a great driver of energy. If you want to double down on your energy and focus, find your way to Chalk.com, C-H-O-Q.com. Save 35% off the Chalk subscription you choose for life when you use my name, Buck, in your purchase process. That's Chalk, C-H-O-Q.com with a Q, as in Chalk.com. 35% deal is a great one. So remember to use my name, Buck, when you go to Chalk.com. 35% off as you make your purchase.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose.
GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community.
Change the world for good by putting others before yourself to glorify God. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your unique academic, personal, and professional goals.
With over 330 academic programs as of September 2023, GCU meets you where you are and provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Let it flourish. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, hey, I'm covered, no worries. Not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance.
And that can be a lot of money for your family, but how do you know you're not being overbilled? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors.
So unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate?
HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance.
When your medical claim comes in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud.
HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors so you pay only what you owe.
You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills.
To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million.
Bottom line, insurance isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it before you see another healthcare provider. HealthLock.com. HealthLock.com.
So I just told you the story of a personal trainer fired from an Equinox gym in New York City, claiming that a white subordinate coworker, a white male, said things that she found bigoted or racist about, I guess, other people in the gym. And she was late enough that she certainly could have been terminated on that grounds alone, but she instead got $11 million. And I sit here and I say, and Clay's telling me, well, maybe that will be reduced and we'll see. But also when I looked at this story, something else came up. Some of you may recall this was back in November of 2022 that a black female FedEx supervisor, a supervisor at the FedEx company, won a, did you hear about this, Clay? $366 million jury award in a case where there was supposedly
racial bias. It's fascinating. Whenever I read through these news reports on the racial bias, I'm looking for, you know, oh man, where, what is this stuff? Where are the grotesque, racist, you know, really degrading things that we could all sit there and say, well, that is appalling and the companies shouldn't be held $366 million is crazy. But, you know, there should be an award here. And it's always, I didn't think, you know, in this case, it's, I didn't think I got promoted when I should have been. And I think there was discrimination against me. I've seen nothing in this case granted, I've only done a quick read of it in the last few minutes, but nothing to justify a $3 million settlement, never mind a $366 million. I mean, I don't know. I think $366 million is a lot of money. And I think what you're starting to see is people might recognize that this all has costs and consequences. You know, when you're going to get people getting $300 million verdicts or even $10 million verdicts, that expense is not just coming from, you know, up in the air, the ether, whatever. These are companies now that are going to have to be paying out this money. Now, sometimes it's covered by insurance, but their insurance rates go up. What happens then? You're going to be paying more for your gym membership. You're going to be paying more for FedEx if these kinds of verdicts become the norm, which I think you're starting to see. This is getting way out of control. Now, the New York Times, to be clear, is celebrating the $11 million verdict. They think this is great. $11 million for somebody who says she heard some things she didn't like at work. And I sit here and I say, when do we get to point out that this is, that there are certainly instances of this where it's just people looking for a massive payday, or it's people who are using the, you know, the racial guilt in this country and the terror that companies have of being considered racist for a second to just absolutely ring the cash register as much as possible.
Most of the time, Buck, these cases will get tossed on appeal, the verdicts, because that's why I was pointing out, let's say this woman's making $100,000 a year, okay? She got 100 years of salary because, according to her, some people at her employer said mean things about her. So usually, there would be the plaintiff lawyer and the defense attorney would sit down and say, okay, like, this number is totally out of whack. We'll give you $2.5 million settlement, or we're going to appeal this and your client's going to lose most of this verdict, right? Because again, under a lot of, different law, oftentimes, I don't know, the $300 million verdict is probably wildly outside of what a jury could deliver in those cases. Now, as an attorney, I represented a lot of big companies in the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Can I just tell you, the 366 was not, yeah, they took it to court, Clay, to get it over. They took it to appeal. You know what happened at appeal? Maintained.
Where is the case from?
U.S. District Court of the Southern District of Texas.
So usually, again, sometimes you have to go all the way to the Supreme Court to get some of these cases tossed out. I'm not an expert in that particular case. There has to be, in order for a verdict to be applied, some sort of mathematical connection that typically would allow it to occur. So most of these massive verdicts that you see that are plaintiff involved, I'm not talking about a massive lawsuit, right? Sometimes you have these class action lawsuits where, you know, theoretically a million people could each make $80 if they filled out the form and turned it back in. And really it's the lawyers who are ending up as the biggest beneficiaries here because they get 30 or 35% of a contingency fee. There's no doubt that our court system is oftentimes strangled by unnecessary litigation. And an easy way to think about this is, if, Buck, we had half of the truck drivers that we have in this country, our entire economy would collapse. Think about it. If we had half of the lawyers, everything would be fine. Right? So sometimes you can look around and you could probably say, if we had a quarter of the lawyers, everything would be fine, because there is a tax that is being created by the legal profession in this country that does not make the country more efficient than it otherwise would be, by many lawyers often filing unscrupulous lawsuits that are unnecessary and actually make things worse for the vast majority of the country.
So jurors awarded Harris, the female, a plaintiff in this case, $1.16 million in compensatory damages. All right. I mean, you know, if maybe there was something that people's, maybe there, she wasn't, you know, fairly, she's making like, again, 80 to 100 grand a year. You're giving her 10 years
yep.
of wages. Okay. Okay. They ordered $1 million in compensatory damages and $365 million in punitive damages.
Yeah.
Now, you'd say, and to your point, I think that there's like a faith here that you and I would both have in the system that say, oh, come on. Well, the update, that story was in November. The update as of February 3rd of this year was a Fifth Circuit judge rejected FedEx's request to throw out or reduce the $366 million in damages. So it made it to the appeal, and the appeals court guy was like, no, I'm sorry. So I don't know if they...
The way that typically this would work is it was a district court verdict in Texas. First of all, I don't know what the law is in the state of Texas on punitive damages. I bet we have geniuses who are experts on this. Typically, you could not reward a 300x punitive damage on top of a $1 million verdict, generally speaking. Sometimes, Buck, what you have to do, and this gets into the legal technicalities, sometimes you get a bad judge, right, on the Fifth Circuit. You might get, I don't know who that judge is, but my bet would be that he would have been a Democrat appointee on the Fifth Circuit, which is traditionally a conservative court in the country. And so you yeah. get a hearing in front of one, and you have to require that the entire Fifth Circuit review
so,
it.
Right. So, I mean, it's look, it's making its way up the chain, but I just think it's interesting that this is the initial $366 million. They went to a district court judge, a federal judge, and said, hey, guys, the $366 million for discrimination that was apparently never proven. There's no,
yeah.
the basis for this is her perception that she was discriminated against. She was a black woman who says that they treated her differently because she's a black woman. And the judge said, no, we're going to keep it. So now they're going to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals to elevate it beyond the initial federal district judge. But Clay, who is this initial district judge? Like, this is crazy town.
Yeah, it is. and I would bet, again, that it's almost entirely unjustifiable under Texas law, because a lot of states have tried to put caps on punitive damages and damages in general, because what ends up happening in many of these tort lawsuits is this is a default tax on all of the citizens of Texas, because the corporation has to in some way count on all these dollars that otherwise would go to running their business going out to people with yeah. unjustified payments instead.
And that's exactly what I'm trying to get at here is this isn't the juries think, oh, great, we're striking a blow against racism, even if no racism was proved. You know, it makes a point or something. And this woman then gets very rich. Yay. People might get fired over this. You know, I mean, you look at what happened. Now, it's very different, not a racial discrimination suit, but even the Dominion lawsuit at Fox, they had layoffs recently. Now, they can say that it has nothing to do with the $800 million settlement, but people lost their jobs. When you have a huge judgment against a company, they have to cut costs. People are going to get fired. So if you're bringing a frivolous or false racial discrimination suit and getting a massive judgment, there are good people that get hurt by that. And the consumer certainly gets hurt, to your point, about effectively socializing these costs, which we're seeing in a whole range of ways.
Well, and not only that, Buck, I mean, if you think in a bigger picture as opposed to one individual, which is, again, that dollar figure would be entirely unjustified. Also, many of the people who lose their jobs are minorities. You know, if a company has to retrench and end up laying off lots of workers, then you're trying to rectify injustice by in some way actually taking out more of an issue on minorities to reward one, right? And this, of course, is the great fallacy of BLM in general. The biggest losers of all of BLM are impoverished people in inner city neighborhoods who can't walk outside yeah. safely because they fired all the cops in the name of trying to make the world less racist.
It's also just, it requires a total suspension of the reality that we all live in this country, where in 99% of corporate settings and circumstances, what's the fastest way to get fired, right? The fastest way to get fired, say something racist.
Yep.
No matter what company, no matter what business, no matter where you are, what you're doing, the fastest way to lose your job is to say something racist. And yet we're to believe that in these cases, there was all of this, you know, grotesque racism underway that no one can prove and no one knew about, no one heard about. But look, it's because there's going to be more of this. I mean, Clay, it's from the attorney side of it, too, right? $11 million here, $300 million there, starts to add up those legal fees, you know, and this is where.
Can you think it's a good question for everybody else out there. How many professions could you eliminate half of the people doing it and actually make the world better? You could eliminate half of attorneys and America would work just as efficiently and effectively as it does now. How many professions can you say that about? Just think about it. And, and a lot of them that don't pay very well, the country would basically cease to exist, right? I mean, if you took away half of the people who work at gas stations, we'd have a real issue, right? Take away half the lawyers, country might be better off.
You know, the other week I got to do an extraordinary thing. I sat down with a market analyst who made a special video presentation, but the market analyst is somebody I know very well. It's my dad, Mason Sexton. So you probably recognize the last name. We talked about a premise that's very important to him, the great disruption of 2023. Look, in the past, he predicted the stock market crash of 87, the top of the market before the crash. He's made several major calls publicly, but what he sees now is unlike anything he's seen in 50 years of Wall Street experience. You can read up on it now so you'll know how to prepare. In this interview, he reveals the date this July when he thinks things are going to turn really ugly in the markets. We're already starting to see the signs of disruption. Banks floundering, real estate losing its value at a rapid rate, inflation causing sticker shock at the grocery store. My dad, Mason, will tell you why most analysts are wrong about a coming decade in lost decade in stocks, and why what's coming could be much, much worse. This is his first major public prediction in 30 years. So if you missed it, the video is still up. You can watch now. Watch the replay at disruption2023.com. That's disruption2023.com.
Sunday Hang with Clay and Buck, a new podcast. Find it on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to the Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country, heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull.
He sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber, the complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye, and he needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave Major Turnbull a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope.
With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's severely injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders.
Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's t2t.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs.
That can be a lot of money, but are your bills even accurate?
It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors.
HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud.
You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills.
To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com.
Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams, offering over 330 academic programs as of September 2023. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University, private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.